Wonderful. And so I have the opportunity to invite Pastor Tom Stimson to come up here. He has an amazing thing to share with us. Pastor Tom?
I'm good. No pressure there. You know, sometimes when I look out and I see folks that I don't know at church, a lot of times people come to church the first time they're here, and it's sometimes can be a real challenge to come to church, especially if you don't know everybody or you don't maybe not feel comfortable. So I just want to remind you, hi Sarah, it's nice to see you back there. I haven't seen you for a long time, and Nathan, and I see Nehemiah around. A lot of folks are back this week, just kind of visiting, I think. It's awesome. But if you're feeling like just a little uncomfortable about being here, I just want to tell you to relax, because you could be up here, and it's not any less comfortable up here. So just relax. We're at home here together. Everybody's welcome, and we're glad you're here. Last week, if you were here last week, Pastor Perry started a new topic on our sermons about communicating with God, the idea that communication with God is something that's possible. And he brought up a point that really struck home with me. He said that our relationship with God is really connected to our communication with God. The quality of our relationship with God is connected to the quality of our communication. And if you think about that, it's just totally true. Especially if you're a husband or a wife, or you have a close friend, or brothers and sisters in families, when communication is going well, relationships are going well. And when communication starts to break down, or our busy schedules, or we're not communicating clearly, I know that's true for us at our house, then sometimes relationships can break down. So relationships and communication are really connected. Pastor Perry set the stage last week reminding us that communication with God is possible for us at any time. Do you remember him saying that? At any time, God's attention and his voice is available to us at all times. We can talk to God. God wants to hear from us. God does listen to us. And we can hear from God too. I want to take a moment, if you'll just listen, I'm going to read a scripture in Matthew 16, chapter 16, verse 13. Where did it go? Here we go. And I also want to encourage you to get your phone out or get your Bible out, because there's going to be a lot of scriptures we're going to hit today, and I want you guys to follow along as best you can. But I do have them up on the screen, but this one's not up on the screen. But take a look with me at Matthew 16, starting with verse 13, or just listen. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Jesus pressed them and he said, "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter, he says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, and this is important. Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." So Peter's getting this right. I mean, he was like on a high right there. He's winning right now. And Jesus just told him, "The world did not tell you this. My Father in heaven told you this." And it's not very long later, I mean, moments perhaps, that he was winning and then he's losing, because I'm going to keep reading. Jesus goes on and talks about Simon Peter. He says, "And I tell you that you are Peter. And on this rock, Peter, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven." I told you he was winning. "Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then he ordered his disciples, and this always is strange to me. A lot of times in scripture, he says, "Now don't tell anybody." So Jesus says that. And then it says, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. He's going to suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day he'd be raised to life. Now Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. I mean, you hear that. This is Jesus, my Lord, come here. We need to straighten something out here. And Peter says this, "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." And just see how quickly this change happens. Jesus turns back to Peter and says this, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely the human concerns." You're not listening to God right now. You're listening to the world. In that short passage, we can see clearly that in one moment we can hear from God, and in the next moment we can hear from the world. And those things affect the way we act and the way we behave. I want to watch a short video. I know Angie was getting prepared. Enjoy this little video. Thank you, Bill.
Our life is fast-paced, it's full of noise, with constant input from the world going on around us. From media to culture to the interactions that we have with different people every day. And behind this noise are distinct voices that are seeking a response from us. A voice is an expression of someone or something that's looking for a response from us, lobbying for our affection, for our attention, and ultimately for us to walk in the way of its direction. And in the middle of that, we need to be people that discern God's voice in the midst of all the other voices, all the other noise that we have going on. The voice of our past that speaks to us. The voice of the enemy. The voice of the world. The voice of our fears and pleasures and wants and desires. The voice of our anxieties. And the voice of the crowd from other people. And in the middle of that, Jesus says, "My sheep will hear my voice. They will know me and they will follow me." And to those who look to the Lord in prayer, and to those who look to the Lord in His Word, and to those who seek Him and His voice first, they will truly hear Him and discern His voice when He is speaking. We need to be people that discern God's voice. And as we do that, as we look to the Lord, we will be those who will have the noise and the voices of this world become a backdrop as the clarity of God's voice emerges and becomes the only voice that matters and that we hear.
The video said, a voice is an expression of someone or something that's looking for a response from us. It's lobbying for our affection, for our attention, and ultimately for us to walk in the way of its direction. And in the middle of that, we need to be people that discern God's voice in the midst of all the other voices around us. Can you hear God? God is calling us. Can you hear Him? Yes, you can. God has a voice. Communication with God is possible. I mentioned we were going to be in a few scriptures. If you want to open up and find Exodus 19, verse 10. While you're finding those pages, I'm going to practice something here. Oh, it's already forward there, so I'm going to... That's great. I've never used that little tool there. So while you're looking up Exodus 19, when you study God or when you're talking about God or when you're reading about God, there's something that often comes up, like if you're reading something theological or in devotions, and that thing that comes up is often God's will. And there's a general will that God has, and then there's a specific will of God. And I want to connect those two things, the will of God with the voice of God. And you'll see why a little bit later. But there's a general voice of God, and then there's a specific voice of God. And the reason I want to connect that with God's will is because we all want to hear the specific voice of God, don't we? When we have a job change or we have a big decision in our life, whether to move somewhere or we're concerned about a decision with family or a decision with marriage, we want to hear specific words from God in those moments. And I believe that God wants to speak specific words to us. But something that concerns me and something that I'm afraid of is that we want to hear God speak specific words to us at different times in our lives without us being in the habit of hearing the general voice of God on a regular basis. Think of it this way. If just about every 6 months or every year or so, we really started pursuing God, we had some decision and we wanted to hear a specific voice. And we do that every so often, 6 months, every year. But if we aren't familiar with what God's voice sounds like or how God talks to us, if we're not in the habit of meeting with Him and hearing from Him on a regular basis, I think it's much more difficult to hear God's voice and to discern what He's saying over the voice of the world that we're in every day. So this is what we're going to talk about today. And it's going to be very, very fundamental, almost elementary. And for some of us, You're in the voice of God. You're in the Word of God on a regular basis. You're so familiar with God. You're doing this. So for you, this is just going to be a review. But for others of us, there are some of us here that hearing God's voice is something we've heard is possible, and we've never experienced it. And we're not in the habit of this. So for you, I hope that these things, these four little points I'm going to mention, are life-changing, and there's magic, amazing breakthrough that happens. Because God can talk to us, and we can hear him, and it can make all the difference in the world. And if my message had to have a title, it would be, How Do You Hear From God? And the answer is really quite simple, and this isn't on the board, but in order to hear from God, you have to want to. If hearing from God is something that you want, if it's important to you, then you're going to make time for it, aren't you? I thought about bringing, I have some steel-toed boots, and a pastor years ago brought those one time, and he set them up on the front. He said, these are just for some of you in case you feel like I'm stepping on your toes. I didn't bring them, but I just want you to know, if you're feeling that way, know that I'm talking to myself too. I wish I could stand up here in all honesty and say every single day, I'm seeking God, and I'm reading his word, and I'm listening for his voice. If hearing from God is something you want, if it's important, then you'll make time. If I were to ask any of you, is hearing from God's voice something that you would value? We'd all say yes. But then if I asked you this, how much time in your daily schedule have you committed to hearing God's voice? We might get embarrassed, some of us. Because the truth is, I think all of us would say it's something that we want, but we get so busy in life that sometimes it ends up becoming something that we just wish we had time for. And we're not actually doing it. So how do you hear from God? The first answer is up there. You make an appointment. In Exodus chapter 19, I think I'm going to try this, Angie, if this works. And you told me I have to point back that way. Okay, that button is not the right one. Nope, went that way. Yeah, it's not doing it. Make it. Okay, there we go. Did I do that or did you do that? It's all good. I'm waiting for Alan Douse. We're in a communication class in Sunday school where if you say or you have an awkward pause that you're not really doing anything important, he drops a penny in a glass and it goes tling, tling, tling. I was just waiting on that. It didn't happen. Exodus 19, verse 10. I just want to read this. And the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day. Because on that day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. What's next, Angie? As the sound of the trumpet. Okay, that went ahead. That's good. Leave that there. What's happening in that verse right before then? If you want to go back, Angie, that'd be great so we can still look at it. Sorry about this. Do you see what happened there when he says, have them get ready. On the third day, I'm going to come down in the sight of all the people. God is making an appointment, isn't he? He's telling Moses to tell the people, get them ready, have them prepare, because I've got something I want to do. So he's making an appointment. Now, he didn't say, have everybody get together. I'm going to have a meeting. He said, have everybody actually get prepared. Get prepared to hear from God. God comes to a prepared atmosphere. If you want to write that down, I think that's important. God comes to a prepared atmosphere. All through Scripture, you're going to see that this is true. A great example of how much preparing happens is if think about church. We've all come here today to meet with God. Think about if Marion Christian Center didn't prepare for today. If you got here and the doors were still locked and the light wasn't on. If no one had programmed the thermostats. Imagine if you had children and you were taking them back to the children's ministry area and there weren't any people there. There was no one there waiting for you. Lots of preparation happens. The chairs are set up. The carpet's been vacuumed. You know what? I think that God honors that preparation that happens here. And when we come to meet God, I believe that he honors that. And that he shows up too. To a prepared people. God comes to a prepared people. If you don't set an appointment, you'll miss it. Years ago, I was taught that in order for something to become a habit, you had to do it 21 days in a row. So I was looking that up again just to see if that's still the case. And just like it is with eggs, one day you're good to eat them, the next day they're bad for you, and then they're good. Well, they've changed this number. Now they say that in order for something to become a habit in the testing that they did, you have to repeat something daily for 66 days. Now, I only have to go to the dentist twice a year. But if I don't make an appointment to go to the dentist, I'll miss it. I won't go to the dentist. And I'll tell you, years can go by without going to the dentist. So you make an appointment, and then they send you a reminder card, don't they? I'm working on an app for our church, and I have an appointment on Monday at noon for a phone call with someone from another state. I had to set that appointment. I had to go online, go into a web page, pick a date, pick a person, set it all up, and then they emailed me and added it to my Google Calendar. I made an appointment with this person who I don't even know. On Wednesday, I have an appointment. I'm going to have lunch with a friend from church. Wednesday at Lee Garden at noon. If y'all want to crash that party, you're welcome. We'll be there. I love Thad Sig. He sits right here in the front. Very often on Wednesdays for a long season, Thad would come to church and he would spend time with God right there in that foyer behind us on Wednesdays. He just chose, I'm going to spend time here. After a meeting I already had, this is some time I'm going to spend with the Lord. I love that about you, Thad. Now he's not doing that anymore. It was part of a chiropractic visit. He was just here spending time. But I know that Thad spends time with the Lord every day. A good appointment. If you're making a good appointment, what has to be a part of it? You have to have your time, a place, and then where. That's how we make appointments with people for business, for pleasure. That's how we make appointments with people we don't even like the dentist. We should do that with God. We should carve out time in our calendar to meet with God. Your place could be in your house. It could be a special room in your house. Your house might not be the right place for you to meet with God. It might be too much clutter, too much other things. It might be better for you to go to Starbucks. Maybe you go to the backyard. Some of you have really nice backyards. I wonder, do you have a place where you meet with God on a regular basis? Some of us do, some of us don't. How many of you would say you're a morning person? I'm not raising my hand. How many of you would say you're more of a night owl? More of a night owl. There's no right time or wrong time to make this appointment to meet with God. It's whenever it's really good for you. When are you at your best? As a prepared people, God comes to prepared people. When are you at your best to hear from God? And when will you have time? There's no right or wrong answer. Now, when you read the scriptures, a lot of times Jesus is up early in the morning. So morning people, maybe you're going to hear louder. I don't know. But I know I'm more of a night owl, and I often hear from God at night sometimes. There's a bad thing, often and sometimes. It's whenever it's good for you. So my homework for you, my challenge for you, we could even stop this right now, is just get your phone out and make an appointment that's starting tomorrow. When are you going to meet with God? Or at least be thinking about that. So now you've got an appointment. What are you going to do with your time? Let's see if this works. All right, we've got more verses. So Exodus 19, God got the people ready. I hit the button. Try it. Angie, I want you to just go to the next scripture because this is really cool. Uh-oh, I didn't do that. Because I want you to see what happens in Exodus after they were prepared. And after, there you go. You go down to verse 19, if you have that in your Bible. As the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. Some of your translations might say, and God answered in a thunderous voice. I just think that must have been something loud and clear. So, Angie, go on to the next one. The second thing we got to do, there's only four of these. Now we're cruising really long. Did you guys make an appointment yet? Is it important enough to have an appointment? Second thing is stop and sing. There's a scripture. The next scripture, Angie, is Psalm 46. God says, be still and know that I am God. The next verse, Angie, Exodus 14:13. Moses answered the people, don't be afraid. Stand still and you will see the deliverance of the Lord, and the Lord will bring you. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. Go on to 2 Chronicles, Angie, the next one. These are just verses where you're being convinced, I hope, that stopping and standing still. This is an awesome voice to hear from God right today, especially with the words that we heard about battles that we fight and how God is victorious. Check this out. God tells his people, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand still and see the deliverance that the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. I want to give you background on what you're just reading there. In that part of scripture, there were three armies that had converged, and they were all trying to defeat Judea. And God told them, you don't have to fight this battle. Instead, he says, position yourselves, stand still, and watch, and see what the Lord does. Now, that's a word from the Lord that all of us need to receive, I think. How many of you are fighting a battle? Be encouraged that God says, if you stop and know that I'm God, just like this, God will fight these battles for us. And I think that might be the next verse. There you go, 21. Check out what happens here. I said, stop and sing. The same story. The armies are converging. God says, just stop and watch. And after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. So this is a battle. And the Lord said, send the singers out first. Keep going, Angie. Thanks. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. Those are the three armies against them, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Check this out. The Ammonites and the Moabites rose up against the men of Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. Then the next verse. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. Not one had escaped. Did you hear that? Stop and sing when you're spending time with the Lord and watch battles be won. Watch for it. I told you I was working on a church app. One of the things I'm hoping to have in that app is a place where you can go to a button that says listen. And my idea, and I hope it'll work, is that there could be a list of a place on Spotify or somewhere where all the songs that we sing on Sunday morning could be right there at your fingertips. Because many of them are sung by others. And then if you're new to the church, you could check out what kind of music we have. But if you're a part of the family, you could go there during the week, during your quiet time that you made an appointment for, and you could sing the things we sing here all week long. You could listen to them in headphones. We could keep singing all week. Acts 13, verse 2, Angie. It says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. The reason I'm sharing all these verses with you is because we want to hear the voice of God. And all through Scripture, we see this is a way to stop and to worship him. And watch what happens and listen. And you'll hear from the Lord. Remember Paul and Silas in prison? In the inner chamber, they stopped. They started singing. And what happened? Chains fell off. The walls fell down. People were free. People who had battles, these bondages, they were free. They suddenly were free people. There is power in our praises. The third thing, Angie, the next slide. So we make an appointment. We stop and sing. What else can you do during your appointment with God? You can read and pray. Pray and read. In Mark chapter 1, next verse, Angie, it says, Jesus set an appointment. Read with me. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Psalm 119. I rise before the dawn, and I cry for help. Crying for help, that's praying. I put my hope in your word, God's word. Reading. What should you pray about? If you're a newer Christian, I still know today, maybe you've been at a small group, maybe you've been in a Bible study, and the leader asks if someone would be willing to pray. Some of us are like, I don't want to do that. It's nerve-wracking. I don't know what I'd pray about. Don't ask me to pray. It happens in the youth group a lot. We get frozen. Maybe we just don't know what to pray about. I'm going to give you the answer. I'm going to tell you what you should pray about. Whatever's on your heart. Whatever's in your heart. Whatever's on your mind. If the president is on your mind during that meeting, you pray for the president, but you don't have to. If your busy day is on your mind, pray about your busy day. Maybe your son And your relationship is failing. It's breaking. Your communication is down. Your relationship is struggling. Pray about your son. Tell God all that you're feeling about your son. Pray. And read. What should you read? I know in youth ministry, the Bible is like a big elephant. And the students, sometimes you're like, read the Bible every day. It's like, that's just so much in there. Where should I start? Now, there are some places you could start. You could start with the Gospels. John is a great place to start. But I don't like telling people what to do. So I'm going to tell you where you should read the Bible. Anywhere between the two covers. Just read something in there. Eventually, something will start to be interesting. I heard Pastor Robert Morris was talking something about this. And he said that he gave his congregation permission, if you find yourself reading all of the begats and all the ancestry and all the lineages, he said, he gave him permission, you can skip that. So you can skip that part so you're not begotten tired too quick. But during your time with God, you should stop, sing, worship, pray about whatever's on your heart, and read something from God's word. If you're not familiar with it, there is an app for your phone or your computer called the Bible app. How many of you have that on your phone or are aware of the Bible app? You can search on the Bible app. I did this on Thursday for devotionals or Bible readings, structured Bible readings that last 60 days. Search for it. There was tons of them came up. You could also search for Bible reading devotions, daily time with God, all about hearing God's voice. You could type that topic in, and there's tons of devotionals that are waiting for you to read God's word about how can you hear from God's voice. So do that. Fourth thing, Angie, thank you, is to listen and write. The next verse is Psalm 45, verse 1. My heart, this is David writing, my heart is stirred by a noble theme as I recite my verses for the king. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. David says he is a skillful and ready writer as he spends time with God. He writes the things that he hears from God. How many psalms did he write? 150, I think. 1 Chronicles 28. All this, David said, I have in writing as a result of the Lord's hand on me, and he enabled me to understand all the details of the plan. What that's talking about is when God was telling David about building the tabernacle, he was hearing all these details, but it was when he wrote it down, he says, then he understood what he had written. Habakkuk 2, verse 2, the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald could run with it. God talks to us. His voice is something we can hear. I'm saying that the scripture is encouraging you to write it down. Something that happens to me quite a bit in our worship time. It happened this morning actually as well. But I'll be singing and I'll start, my mind will start getting filled with things that God's starting to say to me. And I'll just have to sit down and I send myself an email. I've often wondered, what do people think Tom's sitting down using his phone? If you see me do that, I'm telling you, I'm hearing from God and I'm just writing down the things that I'm hearing because I don't want to forget them. As you're praying, when you're praying about what? What are you praying about? Whatever's on your heart, you can write down your prayers. Get yourself a notebook and start writing down your prayers. Then I would challenge you to do something additional. When you're done writing down your prayers, start to write what you think God's answers are. You can sit down and start writing. What do you think God's answers are? You were praying for your son. God, I pray for my son. He's walking away from the church. I'm concerned about the choices that he's making. Would you please remind my son how much I love him? Remind him how much you love him, Lord. Help him remember the times when he was in church. I don't know what your prayer might be, but then you could, what would God's answer be? You could start writing down in God's voice. You could say, I love your son. I love your son more than you do. Trust me, I'm with your son. I'm calling out to your son. You can start hearing God's answer. I am calling out to your son. I've heard your cry. I'm moving on your behalf. You could write those things down. How encouraging is that? While you're reading, write down what do you think God's saying to you in the scriptures that you've chosen to read. What do you think God's saying? It might seem strange at first. But here's what I know. After you start working at it, when you get to that 67th day, and you've made it a habit of writing down, like when I'm sitting down with my phone, I can't even type fast enough sometimes because the stuff just flying at me, things I want to remember that God said, and I think that's going to happen to you. And you'll have pages and pages maybe over the years. And then you can look back, and you know what amazing things happen when you look back over all the ways God's been speaking to you and sharing? You're reminded of all the ways that God's faithful in your life. God wants to speak to you. And the question is, do you really want to hear? I believe that God's speaking to each one of us this morning. I can hear God saying, how important is my voice to you? My prayer, my hope, the reason I put any time into this, is that each one of us would value hearing God's voice enough to give him the opportunity to speak. Give God the opportunity to direct your life. We have to make time for it. I pray that you will. Earlier this morning, I said that I wanted to replace the will of God with the voice of God. You remember that? I just wanted to sort of interchange those words. Here's really why I wanted to do that. Picture in your mind's eye with me a young child who's sitting in a high chair in the kitchen at your home, and it's mealtime. Okay? Sometimes mealtime with that child can be really frustrating because they have things that they want. They have things that they need, and they don't have words. So they're frustrated, and you're like, just tell me, what is it that you want? And you're trying things, and it's just frustrating. And then it could get messy, right? The spaghetti's on the floor. The food's all over here because you're trying to put it in their mouth, and that's not what they're wanting, and it's smearing. They have a will, but they don't have the words. And you know what that moment, continue on in that little movie in your mind, the day that they find their words, and they're able to communicate to you, and you can understand what they're saying. And that's a beautiful moment, isn't it? Because now you can help them. And now there's cooperation happening, right? And then they become teenagers. And they still have a voice and a will. And that's a whole other story. Because they have plenty of words to tell you what they want. That's a different story. I want to invite the musicians to come up. I think this might be the best part of the message right here. I told Pastor Perry on Thursday, I said, you ever get to the end and you're like, that's it? That's it. I hope I'm not setting this up to be something that it's not. I think what I'm about to say is the whole reason why I'm standing up here right now. God has a will. And when we understand his words, that's an amazing moment. When we know what God's saying, just like that child, when we know what they're saying. The better that we are able to hear God, the better we are able to do what he wants. The more we are able to do what he wants, the more we will see what he is doing. The more that we see what God is doing, the more stories we're going to have of God's greatness. The more stories that we have of God's greatness, the more people will want to know about this great God that loves them. The more that they want to know about this great God who loves them, the more we are able to tell them about Jesus. Told you this was good. The more that we're able to tell them about Jesus, the more they're going to put their faith and trust in Jesus. And that's the revival that we want. That's the kind of church I want to be a part of. I'm committed to this. And I'm asking you, are you willing to give God time to speak so that you can know what he wants you to do, so that you can see what he's doing, so that you'll have stories of his greatness that you can tell to other people who will suddenly want to know more about this God who loves them so much? And when they want to know more about God, what do you tell them about? You tell them about Jesus. And when they know about Jesus, then they're going to put their faith and trust in Jesus. And then this room won't be big enough. Because Marion needs Jesus. and we live in Marion. At this time, I'll invite the personal ministry team to come up. This is why we're here. To hear from God. I'm convinced God's asking you to make an appointment with Him. God is faithful. He's going to meet you there. Stop and sing. Sing in your head. Sing quietly. Sing out loud. But stop and know that the Lord is good. Be still. Pray about whatever's on your heart and read anything in God's Word. And listen to what God's saying and then write it down so you'll understand. These ones here are here to pray with you. We heard words this morning about God's winning battles on our behalf. We read scripture that said that we don't even have to fight those battles. Just stop. Position yourselves. This is a position you could take right now in prayer. If there's a battle that you're fighting, could be with your health, could be with your family. I'm going to ask everyone to stand up because that's going to be easier for the ones that need to come and take this position to do that. God is faithful. God listens to us. God cares for us. And God wants to fight these battles for us. So I invite you to come. If you've never placed your trust in Jesus, if you've heard about this God who loves you, but you've never given Him your heart, these ones can pray with you to receive Christ today. What's keeping you? What is wrong with Jesus? Thank you for being obedient. I want to pray for all of us. Father God, I just thank you that you love us so much, that you did so much for us to make a way through Jesus, that we can see you face to face, that we can hear your voice. Lord, I pray right now that each one, wherever they're standing, would be saying, God, I want to hear you more. Because I know as soon as they ask, you're faithful and you will. So Lord, help us to want to know you. In Jesus' name, amen.